Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back in the Morning Hookup. Having a great time on a Thursday, my guy Will Wilson. You ever thought, like, I'm sitting here watching, we're seeing some golf right now, the PGA Championship, and there's like this power couple, like power trio, right? Roy McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and Tiger Woods. Yeah, that's his name, right? But I don't know if it's as good of a power couple as what we're about to bring on. Henry T. Buchanan, Dave Hopper. T, what's up?
What's happening, Bill? What's up, Will?
Hey.
What's up, Big Hop?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
This is like good. Power. This is power couple right here.
Yeah.
On the Morning Hookup, man. It really is. Hop, we appreciate you joining us today, man. Thanks for taking the time with us. I want to start off with talking to both you guys about Husker basketball, what we've seen since Coach Horford's got here, and also what is happening and looking at the roster, what they've just rebuilt. So what it was in year one, we saw Horford come in, all the transfers, and that style of play maybe not working, and now building maybe what looks like a traditional Big Ten roster.
Yeah, I think, he tried to capture lightning out of the bottle, kind of like he did at Iowa State, and with a couple of the transfers that he got that were really, really good players, and try to come in and do that. And I think you can do that to a certain level, but at some point you have to have a basis. You know, you have to have a foundation for everything, because as we've seen in football and basketball, you know, if you have a roster, huge roster turnover every year, it's mm-hmm. just too hard for the players to get used to playing together. And I mean, I go to every game. I've got to think and have a roster out in front of me because I don't know who's playing. I used to always know everybody who was playing, you know. And so it's just tough. It's tough to get any continuity if you don't have some 4-year players and some high school kids coming in. So I think he's realizing that. I think he's realizing also that the Big Ten is not the Big 12. You're not going to be able to play like you played at Iowa State, where you can just run up and down and shoot threes all day, and you know, because everybody's going to try to outscore everybody. In the Big Ten, they're going to try to, you know, knock your head off, and you're going to have to play tough, and you're going to have to play hard, and you can't just go down there, because if you shoot, you know, 30 or 40 threes in a game, you're going to get beat by 30 or 40 points. So I think he's realizing that, and he's trying to build a little bit more of a traditional roster now.
Yeah, and I have to agree with Hop on that. In today's era, and actually, this is just the way the programs are going to be with these transfer portals and the high school kids who can't wait and get their 5 visits like everybody else did coming out of high school. That's highly recruited because these transfer portals is taking these spots up. And I think, you know, and I do agree too that I wish we did have 2 to 3 to 4 year players, but now it seems like the younger players, if the competition is a little bit too tough, they'll just go somewhere where they think they can play at. And so you're not going to have no continuity, you know, I mean, because they're scared of the competition. Go ahead.
I said I was agreeing with it. They're just soft. They're softer today.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then what's happening right now is that now it's, you know, the program who's willing to give up the most, you know, from a NIL position. And you know, just looking at Nick Saban, you know, he's complaining about Texas A&M, you know, about you know, they paid every single player, you know, what have you been doing for the last 15-20 years? I mean, I'm not gonna see our kids even doing that, but come on, man. You know, so it is each program is going to have to step up, you know, from an NIL perspective, and recruiting, our recruiting is going to be a little bit different. And you know, yes, we do want the top high school players, man, but the high school players is going to have to make quicker decisions. The mid-majors are going to suffer a little bit because those 2 or 3 year players that's got some experience is going to these bigger programs as well. So the whole landscape of college basketball is just changing, and hopefully, you know, Coach Hoiberg and the program can keep up with that. And the Big Ten is, like Hop said, is different. It's not the Big Eight and the Big 12, man. It's, you know, you need some beef. He needs some athletes, man. And mm-hmm. So it looks like we're going in that direction, and we'll see what happens.
We're talking to Henry T. Buchanan and Dave Hoppin. And Dave, I mean, both of you guys, touch into that a little bit more. You talk about how different the Big Ten is than the Big Eight. I mean, what is the big differences to you guys?
Well, from my time watching in the Big Ten here, it's you need to have four quality big guys that are about 6'10 or more. And, you know, two that play power forward and two that play center, and then maybe they're interchangeable, whatever. But you have got to have some big boys inside because if you don't, you know, I mean, the last couple of years, I mean, we've had our guys that have been, you know, Derek Walker's 6'9 and 230 or whatever, and he's covering guys from Purdue that are 7'3 and you know, 300 pounds and stuff, and you just can't. You can't ask a guy to do that every night and night in and night out when you play, you know, whatever 18-game conference schedule and stuff. It's just so much more difficult and so much more physical. The Big Eight and the Big 12 were maybe more aesthetically pleasing to watch. It was a little bit more free-flowing offense. It was a little bit more, you know, going up and down the floor and exciting basketball to watch. The Big Ten gets a little bit, gets stuck in the mud a little bit, and they kind of just try to beat the snot out of each other. But you just have to have bigger, stronger players, and hopefully we're starting to do that a little bit. But we've got to get some more big guys.
Yeah, and I grew up in the Big Ten country, you know, being from Indiana, so I've seen Big Ten since I was a kid, and it's always been that rugged league, and that's not only from the basketball perspective, but also the football perspective. You know, with Nebraska coming over to the Big Ten from the Big 12 and the Big 8, you know, where, you know, you can run a little bit, even though Nebraska's known for their power football, you know, back in the mid-90s and early on, but the Big Ten is just, I mean, it's rugged, you know, and from the basketball, I mean, the size, I mean, they got power forwards, and they got big guys, and they slow it up, and the refs let you play in that league, and it's just a little bit different, man. And you know, just from our perspective, and it seems like, you know, the women's now, I mean, they've adjusted. Mm-hmm. I mean, and brought in some talent and running with the Big Ten, and so, you know, just like to see a little bit more of that from the, you know, from the men's all sports, you know, not just basketball and football, but from all sports. And mm-hmm. and I just think sooner or later we'll get there. You know, I have all the confidence in the world.
T, I know you and I have, we've all talked about this, but I want to get your opinion, because obviously you guys have mentioned this, those three letters that could, some people are like, that's ugly, it's nasty. Some people are like, well, it's the way we are now, and maybe these players should be able to benefit from name, image, and likeness. Hop, give us your opinion on it, where we're at today, and how it's the Wild Wild West, by the way, because the NCAA has been burying their head, and the fact that Mark Emmert is still getting paid and has a job blows my mind at every level, but... It is. It's crazy. I mean, we're watching
well,
it, right?
He did a great job, basically, though. He just kind of washed his hands of it. I don't have anything to do with it. The schools handle it all, so he cannot have the heat on him all the time. But I don't know. I don't want to sound like the grouchy old man that played, you know, 40 years ago and say, well, he shouldn't be doing this anymore. But I just can't see how it's going to be really positive for players in the long run. I just can't see going into locker rooms and some guy rolling in with a Corvette and mm-hmm. You know, and another guy talking about how much money he got for this deal or that deal. And I just can't see that that's not going to be cause turmoil in the locker room. You know, I just can't see how the guys aren't going to be upset. And like T said, it's going to be more of, if I'm not getting what I want right now, then I'm out of here, you know, because there's really nothing to stop anybody from going to another school and playing right away. And so that other school is going to want to offer them stuff too. So, I think it's probably like so many things in life. I think it started out as a great idea. I think, you know, that they wanted to help the players out and they wanted to, let them benefit a little bit because the schools are benefiting so much.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, to just kind of let it go and just say it's a free for all and you guys can do whatever you want, you know, it's just crazy to me. And I just don't see it working out well without somebody coming in and taking some control of it and changing some things.
Yep, and to add to that, you know, it's pay to play now. You know, mm-hmm. let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
And these kids now, if they're not getting paid, they're not going to play, or they're not going to put forth the effort that, you know, that we're accustomed to, you know, in competing, you know, at that level, especially at the Division I level, because you just have so many obstacles. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not against, you know, kids getting paid. I wish they had NIL back when I was playing, you know, because I came to school with a wife and a kid, and I could have used a little extra change. But that doesn't. But the difference between the kids now and when Big Hop and I were coming up, man, we played the game for the love of the game,
mm-hmm.
and everything else came with it. You know, as far as you know, what you did on the court and how hard you performed and how hard you played, and you just get rewarded, man. You know, that degree, getting that degree and just getting opportunities out. You know, and I know Big Hop played in the league and. You know, and I didn't get that opportunity, but I've been working with State Farm for 34 years now, and so I still benefited, you know, after obtaining my 4-year degree. So it's, you know, but we had a different mindset back then, you know. Now, you know, and then I don't think money would have changed, you know, my effort, you know, and in competing, you know, because I wanted competition, you know, and I wanted to compete for a position and playing time. And if you were better than me, so be it, you know. So, but I just think the mindset now is like, you know, I'm not going to call the kids quitters, but it just seems like when it gets tough and there's some competition there, they're jumping ship. And, you know, I hate seeing that, or if they're not getting paid enough.
We're talking to Henry T. Buchanan and Dave Hopp. And Dave, I want to ask you about Bryce McGowan's, because obviously we all know he broke your freshman scoring record this last season. And how early on did you think he was going to do it?
You know, I watched a couple of practices early on, and I could see he had talent. He was so thin, and early on, especially in the games, he didn't take the ball to the basket a whole lot because I think he didn't like getting knocked down all the time. And you know, we talked about the tough Big Ten, and that's just what's going to happen if you're going to take the ball to the basket. I could obviously see him was super talented and had a lot of ability. But, you know, the first 5 or 6 games, he looked pretty pedestrian. He didn't look like, you know, a 5-star kid and everything else. And so I kind of thought, well, boy, you know, I hope this kind of turns around a little bit. And it did. I think he kind of just got a mentality that, you know, if I don't have a wide open shot, I'm going to take it to the basket. And I'm going to make him follow me. And then he shot, you know, 85% or something like that from the free throw line and got a lot of his points there, which is smart. But, yeah, he is a super talented kid. The thing I liked about him and, you know, their whole family, if you've ever had any dealings with the family, they're all very humble.
Mm-hmm.
They all work hard. You know, T talked about guys being soft. You know, there were times where, you know, I know he was hurt and banged up and stuff, but he didn't sit out. He went out and played, and too often anymore, guys, you know, just sit out if they've got a, you know, a twisted ankle or a jammed thumb or something like that, you know. And Bryce was skinny, but he was tougher than you thought he was. I don't know how all of that's going to translate over into the NBA. In my mind, when I look at him, I don't see him as a top 25 pick or something like that, but I'm not an NBA GM. You know, I don't watch him all the time, but super talented kid. I wish he would have stayed one more year in Nebraska. I totally understand why he wouldn't, and if I was in his position, I wouldn't have either. I just, from my own perspective, I wish we could have seen him for another year, and I think it probably would have helped his game, but I think he'll be a very good NBA player, but it's just hard to translate right now.
Well, you know, he's about to go through the draft process. He's going through the combine right now. It's something that, you know, the draft process you went through. If you could give him any advice, you know, on how to get through that, what would you say to him?
You know, it's the same thing you would say to a kid in college too. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have guys that you go up against that are better than you, but you have to have this mentality that I can erase the last play that just happened. If I go down and a guy blocks my shot and the crowd is oohing and on and everything, we run down the event. If I pout about it for the next three or four plays, that's not going to do you any good, you know? So if you can just go ahead and make the plays that you know you can make, and if you make a mistake or if you make a bad play, you make a bad turnover, whatever it is, just wipe it out and forget about it and go on and make the next play. That's really hard to do. It's really, you know, easy to say, hey, this is what you need to do, but that is what you need to do, because you see that all the time in the NBA. Guys can look, you know, terrible on a few plays or something, and all of a sudden they'll just, you know, forget about it and turn it on and look great for the next six plays, you know. So the ability to just forget things, and, you know, everybody's going to have bad plays, bad days. You just got to get over it and get to play the next time.
Again, we got Husker legends hanging out with us, Henry T. Buchanan, Dave Hoppin. I want to ask both you guys this, because you can tell it in your voices and seeing you guys at games or coming back for weekends. How much pride do you guys carry? One, I know, Hop, you got a record broke, but I assume there's some pride in saying, all right, man, it lasts a long time, and records are meant to be broken. Also, how much pride do you guys have coming back for the Legends weekend and seeing old teammates and getting into see coaches and current players?
Well, for me, you know, so it's for me. Well, heck, I just saw Hop a few days ago. I mean, a week or two ago in an alumni golf tournament, I think. And I don't know if they pencil whipped us or not, but I thoroughly enjoy it. I left Lincoln back in 2006, and I've always made a concerted effort to make it back to games. I always want to get to know the players, the coaching staff, and the Legends weekend is my favorite. You know, you get to go back and see some of your former teammates and some of the guys, some of the former players, you know, the legends like, you know, Dave Hoppin and others, you know, Mr. Maxey, Albert Maxey, and things of that sort. So just getting to hear folks and just to see the smile and the pride of just being a Cornhusker, you know, or even being announced at halftime of the games, and just, you know, just being around the fans, you know, and, you know, like I've always said, the fans are we have some of the best fans in the country, and some of the best character players that's ever played in that program, and, you know, and just the pride that you see in each other when you meet one another, you know. And, you know, Coach Knee started this back in, you know, when I was playing, and I don't know about, you know, what Mo and Hop's era did, you know, before us, but I just know that we had alumni basketball games and things of that sort, and we always came back, and, you know, they were putting folks in the Hall of Fame and just getting to meet folks from every era, man. It was, you know, Jerry Fort, you know, a lot of guys came back, and, you know, it was just fun to be a part of that.
Yeah, I have a lot of pride in Nebraska basketball. You know, I mean, people have been telling me I'm crazy the last couple of years going down to every game. I'm not looking very good.
Man, I'm right there with you.
I can't say that I leave happy very often, but, you know, I still do. You know, as far as, you know, having my record broken, to totally be honest with you, I was watching the game. I did not know that I had the freshman record, and I didn't know that he was close to the freshman record ever. So when the announcer said it, I was like, that's something.
Sweet.
but my phone is blowing up, and everybody's saying, you lost your scoring record. And I said, well, no, that, you know, I'm still the all-time leading scorer, but just the freshman record, you know.
Yes.
And so everybody thought, oh, no, you don't have the record anymore. And I said, well, you know, I don't think he's going to stay for 4 years. I think my all-time scoring record is okay. But, yeah, you know, I love it. I wish more guys would come back more often. And I think Coach Miles did a really, really good job with this was, you know, he would let us go to practice, and he would have the players all come over after practice and shake your hand and introduce themselves, and you know, and that means a lot to us old farts, because it's, you know, you were out there one time, and you know, I looked up to some guys, you know, Andre Smith and some of the guys that played before me, Jerry Fort, you know, and that meant a lot to me to be able to meet some of those players that played before me. And so I love it. I wish we could see all the old players all the time. I just, you know, that's a great weekend for us, and it's a lot of fun, and you know, it's a lot of time where fans can interact with the players and have a chance to get some pictures and some autographs and stuff. So it's just a good weekend. Yeah,
it's really good stuff. Hop, I want to have a little fun here in a minute with you right now, because I've gotten to meet you once, and then you might not remember, but I sit right down from your football seats, and I was a gentleman come over and ask you about living in Charlotte. I'm born and raised in Charlotte. I know you spent a few years there in Charlotte. I used to work at the Harris Teeter at the Arboretum, and that was I was a late night stock boy at the time. That's about the time when the players would come in and shop during that time. But tell me about your time in Charlotte, how much fun and important it was. Because you know, the expansion team, but you played with some fun guys: Muggsy Bowes, Kelly Tripucka, Armand Gilliam, Ken. I could name the whole
Sexy Rexy,
the shortest shorts in the NBA of all time. Sexy Rexy, like he was one of the first ones you see it. Like was like out of Kentucky with like be able to really get up and like go between his legs and dunk. I just remember going to the games and watching you guys. But talk about that a little bit, because it was kind of a cool time in Charlotte.
Oh, it was an awesome time. That, you know, playing for Charlotte was my favorite 3 years in the league. We definitely weren't the best teams I played for, but, you know, Charlotte really embraced the Hornets and kind of almost treated us like, you know, a college team. And they were, you know, behind us 100%. We had some characters on that team. I mean, Rex was uber talented young guy. He came out, and we had kind of an old school coach, and Rex kind of understood that he kind of ran things a little bit, and you know, and the coach would tell him, okay, when you come off this play, you got to do this, you know, and Rex would just do what he wanted every time. But yeah, the thing that's different between college players and pro players is pro players take bad shots and make them. College players don't normally make them unless you're a really good player. You know, I mean, you could play the best defense in the world against Hakeem Olajuwon, and he's shooting a fadeaway jumper that ends up where he's behind the basket, you know, and you think you've done a great job and nothing but net, you know, and that's just the difference. But yeah, Charlotte was a great town. They really took care of us as players, and we're always there. I mean, we sold out the arena every night. It was just a lot of fun. Charlotte was not as big as it is now, so it was a little, you know, they didn't have a pro football team. You were kind of the only show in town, and it was a lot of fun. And the weather was great, the people were great, and it was a fun time. I wish we could have won some more games.
Did you have a hard time seeing Muggsy in traffic? And by the way, he was like the guy that smiled the entire time playing, and when you met him. But did you have a hard time seeing him in traffic, because he was quick too?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, and you can ask some of the guys. Muggsy, at 5'3", was a wrestler in high school, and like an all-state wrestler, and he was like a Weeble. I mean, you couldn't knock him down. I mean, his center of gravity was so good, and he was so low that he'd get bumped or he'd get picked, and he'd go down. He'd hit like one hand on the ground, and then he'd be back up.
Yep.
He gave teams fits. Like, he would be, Magic Johnson would be bringing the ball up, and Muggsy would, like, be behind him and trying to come and get the ball. And he just dealt Magic fits. Now, Magic could just go and post him up and score on him. But, I mean, you know, Muggsy was, you know, for a 5'3 guy, was an unbelievable athlete, an unbelievable player, a really great guy, a lot of fun, a fan favorite. He probably, other than Rex Chapman, he was probably the fan favorite. And we used to tease him. We said the kids all liked him because he was their size, you know. So, it was a great time, and that was a great team.
T, did you ever get out and see Dave play in the NBA?
No, I just saw him on TV, man. Okay. I just followed it. I just followed all the Huskers. If you was a Husker, man, I followed you. Yeah, you know, whether it's NBA, even paid attention when they were overseas, you know, because one of Hop's teammates was Bernard Day. And, you know, and I never got a chance to play with Hop. I was a year after, and I was like, golly, I wonder how many open shots I would have got if I was playing with Hop. and Bernard would just tell me, man, he said, no, you just throw it in, and Hop didn't miss. So And I said, oh, man, that would have been nice, too. Because Rich King was kind of young. He was a freshman, 7'2 center. You know, he ended up, you know, being a lottery down the road. But just playing with somebody who could score like hot, man, would have been awesome.
Before we get you guys out, I want to ask you both this. I don't know if we've ever asked you this. But we'll get both of you guys here. Favorite Husker moment that you guys were ever a part of?
Well, mine is pretty easy, I've talked to Mike Babcock, one of our writers, over the years, and I just remember the game that we won to beat, I think it was Washington, to go to New York for the Final Four to NIT, and I got a chance to go up and cut the nets with my son in my hands. He was 6-7 year old, and I had him in my arms, and I'm up there cutting the nets, and I still got the photo or video of that. I think I do, and that was one of my proudest moments. And other than a couple of lucky passes to win, beat Kansas, or a shot to beat Mizzou, but that was definitely my favorite.
Yeah, I had something similar too. You know, my freshman year, other than my senior year, was the best team that we had last at Nebraska, and we ended up going into the NIT, and we won 3 home games and made it to the Final Four and went up and played New York City, and that was really great. But the thing that really made it cool was we are in the hotel, and we're walking through the lobby, and this guy's yelling at me, and I look over, and I don't recognize him, but I go over, it was Jerry Fort, who was living in New York at the time, and he was the one who had the all-time, or he had the scoring record, maybe the all-time record too, but he had the freshman record, and he came over and congratulated me for breaking his record, and he was talking about how proud he was of me and our team and stuff, and wanted to take a picture with me and everything. So I kind of thought that was really cool, so I tried to do some of the same stuff with Bryce, after he broke my freshman scoring record, and so that was kind of
cool. Well, guys, this was awesome. I wish we could just keep on rolling through this, but I know there's so much more we can get into, and maybe update you about Tiger Woods and golf maybe at some point. He might be playing today, so. But man,
he was my number one draft pick yesterday with Morgan Gregory and them, was Tiger, man. I always when he's in the field, man, he always has a chance to win. So I did pick him.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. Be that Tiger, man. So hey, man, I appreciate you guys so much. T, take care. Hop, we appreciate you. Be safe, and we'll talk to you guys real soon.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Hop. Man. I'll take care.
Thank you, guys. Husker legends, good stuff right there. Wow. T Buchanan, Dave Hop. There was so much more, man. I watched Hop growing up.
Yeah, I think that's really cool.
I was 11 when Hop got to town.
God.
11 years old, and we had Hornet shirts. It was fire.
It sounded and like it was
the first
thing.
Professional team.
Yeah.
The only other thing we had was a AAA team, but it was like just across Charlotte and South Carolina are really close together.
Wasn't it Durham?
No, it was in. Well, we had that, but you had like a AAA team. You had the Bulls. They were like AA. But close to my home was in Fort Mill, was the AAA Indians. But we didn't have professional sports.
Oh.
And you got the Hornets. And it was like, what?
That is so cool.
It was amazing seeing those guys play. So, all right, good stuff there. Hey, let's take a break. We'll come right back. While we do it, let's try to get somebody registered right now. 402-466-3776. 402-466-ESPN. Caller 8 to get registered.